Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hello, friends. We're back again. Welcome to Fightful. It's May 29th, 2025. I am Atrel Pearl, and of course, we're here to talk TNA Impact and all the goings-on in TNA wrestling over the last, it's almost been a week. It feels like the wrestling world has just kind of been one big ball of everything going on since last weekend. Under Siege was last Friday. We didn't do a post show because, well, you can go watch the show for free on their YouTube channel and tell us why, because I could tell you why. It just wasn't much for us to discuss because the big show was on the Sunday when the TNA World Championship was on the line on NXT Battleground, and we weren't going to do the post show for that. We've got Alex and Kate for that, so they did that. And then, of course, tonight, on Tuesday, there was another NXT show where you had the new TNA World Champion showing up there, and of course TNA talent showing up on the NXT show, and then more TNA talent showing up on the NXT show to tee up the Worlds Collide show, which we're not doing a post show for because someone else will probably do a post show for it because it's not a TNA branded show. We are shafted here. Cresta Star, my one and only ride or die co-host, are we ever coming back to work again? And no, the answer is not TNA against all odds in 2 weeks, because that show starts at 10 p.m. Eastern and probably ends by 1. Ain't happening. Ain't no way are we doing a post show for Against All Odds. They could throw AJ Styles in a match, and I am not sorry, TNA. Mm-mm. Go to Tempe and start at 5 p.m. local. Don't start at 10 p.m. here. Ain't. Mm-mm. How you doing, Cresta?
I practically had a meltdown on Twitter. So I'm doing well. I'm doing.
And you're doing us a favor here by joining us on this post show. We're here every single Thursday. We're here every night. Let's face it. Here on Fightful, we are here every night. There's some sort of show. Unless on a Sunday there's a PLE or there's no PLE, then there's nothing. So this coming Sunday, wrestling has given the best gift they could give me. My birthday, my real birthday, is on Sunday, and there is no wrestling scheduled for Sunday. Therefore, I will enjoy the fruits of that labor. God knows there's enough wrestling in the world, but this Sunday, there will be none. And on the seventh day,
No, literally, wrestling has been a lot this week, whether it was TNA, WWE, AEW. Wasn't there a New Japan show too?
They've been doing the best of the Super Juniors tournament.
Sleep, no sleep, wrestling, another ring, Lucha, Japan, no sleep, club.
Hold on, I'm bringing this up right now. SmackDown ends at 11 p.m. TNA is starting at 10 p.m. And their plus shows go 3 hours.
That's a fact.
AO, if you want to sponsor this show and you want to pay for a sponsorship for a post show to happen, hit up Kate or Sean and we will do the Against All Odds post show. But until a sponsor hits us up and says we want to do the TNA show to make Joel and Cresta stay up late, ain't no way we're doing it. Once again,
is that on a Friday?
You bet your ass it's on a Friday.
Yeah, see, I watch RuPaul's Drag Race on Fridays to keep my sanity, so
I can't blame you. Anyway, your sanity is also a thumbs up, leaving it here on the video. And while you're at it, you can go ahead and you can subscribe to the channel. And if you're also subscribed to this channel, you should subscribe to Fightful Overbook. That's our sister channel, where we go in the weeds Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern, talking about the world of wrestling from all angles, from the news, from the results, from the stories, from the interviews. Paul London, yes, that Paul London, joins the show tomorrow morning, 11:30 a.m. Eastern. If you don't know what Paul London is like now, get into it, because he is a fantastic chat, and he's going to be on the show. So there we go. someone's asking, am I running from the grind tomorrow? No, I will address my absence from In the Weeds for the last few days. So that's going to be
addresses the crowd tomorrow on In the
show that's on them. Yeah, exactly. So drop your likes and get your super chats in. Any amount, get your question or statement read on the air. And of course, it helps to guide the conversation. And you can also donate a Humper Chat. Cresta, please take the wheel.
If you would like to support us even further, you can head over to humperchats.com. Again, that's humperchats.com. And we can get to keep a little bit more of the proceeds. You get to help us keep the lights on, and we'll read your comment on the air. And we'll give you our 2 cents that don't make a dollar, and maybe it makes 20 bucks for you. Humperchats.com. See you there.
Bing. Some of the chats asking about a report that came out today regarding Vince McMahon wanting to buy back WWE. Go over to FightfulSelect.com, the best $5 in the business. We have more on it. Short answer,
clear the condensation. But honestly, you would have to offer TKO a leprechaun and the pot of gold. And even then,
there's a lot of money that would need to exchange hands that the person in question does not have. So there's the answer to your question. This is, by the way, the debunking of this story is not a knock at Jonathan Coachman. He is not saying that it's happening. He has merely said that people have told him that at one point Vince wanted to do it. So again, it's not a swipe at Coach. Feel how you will about him. But in this case, it's not about, you know, him making stuff up, because it's what he's been told by people, and he talks to people. He was in WWE for a long time, so doesn't matter what it is. He still has his people that he talks to, and we still have our people here at Fightful that we talk to, and that's what we know. So go over to FightfulSelect.com, best $5.99 in the business. Get right into it. There it is. Cresta, we got a lot to talk about.
Sure do.
We have a new TNA World Champion. Now, if you didn't watch the broadcast tonight, you wouldn't know, because they didn't say it at all. Not once. Not once did they mention this guy.
Not at all.
No, not one. They're totally cool with whatever happened. Didn't mention it one time. Totally not being sarcastic right now. And of course, the international champion isn't like Captain America right now, according to these people. So just in case you didn't know, Steve Macklin is Superman, Captain America. I'm crossing streams. And your new TNA World Champion as of Sunday is NXT's own Trick Williams. And in the words of Trick, let's talk about it. Because if there's one thing that Trick wants to do is talk about it, but also not, because he just says the words but then doesn't actually follow through.
Absolutely. Also, shout outs to you, Joe Pearl. That was 3 jokes in 1. DC Marvel crossing streams is Jedi. Nice try, pal. Nice try.
I know what I'm doing.
I agree. There's a lot that happened, and I want to be upset. I want to be rah, 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 but I think 2 things can be true at once. When we talk about Joe Henry, then the championship, there's just a lot of things that I'm like, you know what? How do they say in the South? Bless your heart, TNA.
You can say it. If you didn't like the decision, you can say it.
I didn't know now was the time. I didn't want to just like go full.
No, let's talk about it. Oh, damn it.
Let's talk about it. Shut up.
This night is just sponsored by Let's Talk About It. And then we don't say anything. And the next segment starts. Trick beats Joe Hendry at NXT Battleground. I made the joke. I'm like, sure, you're going to have the TNA championship, you know, the world title, not on the TNA show. I understand fully why they did it. There are absolutely more eyes on your Sunday PLE, even if you're going up against a very hot and very well executed AEW pay-per-view. Okay. Do not get me wrong. They know what they're doing. TNA was not going to get nearly as many eyes on a Friday night up against SmackDown, random, you know, 11 o'clock Brampton show, whatever it was. They knew that they would get more eyes from watching it on Peacock, on Netflix, however you are, wherever you are in the world. So it made sense to do it. Trick winning the title. I want your reaction first, because I kind of know what it is, and I want to talk to you about it. So let's talk about it. Trick Williams, the new TNA world champion.
No, at first I was mad as hell. I won't lie. I immediately tweeted, TNA, you have no self-respect. Now, I'm going to give you guys the punch in the throat first and then follow up with some sweet medicine. I still kind of stand on that. Nothing against Trick Williams, and I think he's a fantastic wrestler. I do feel that Joe Hendry had built up an aura that whether you liked him or not, he had something magnetic going on, kind of akin to what Matt Cardona did when he got over on the internet and Becky Lynch becoming the man. It was electric and you had lightning in a bottle, but instead of making him a champion, then you put it on Moose, Nick Nemeth, and then you put it on Joe Hendry. And I understand the rationale in that. But then the complaint of Joe Hendry's not really wrestling. He's not really doing anything. You haven't presented any challengers for him besides a constant Frankie Kazarian with a cup. I can criticize the booking in this situation of Joe Hendry where I feel like he didn't have a snowball's chance in hell. And people will say, hey, well, Cressa, he said he's going to WWE. I would too, bro. Like, look at how you did me when I was the most popular. Why are you going to do me later? I think that what we should have done rather than Trick Williams would have it where Joe Hendry and Santana have that aura off at Slammiversary, because that's absolutely going to happen. Mike Santana is the next guy, point blank, period. And he deserves it. Now, here's the sweet part. In the retrospect, you're trying to do where WWE is invading TNA. I can feel that. Robert Stone, you got Trick Williams, and who knows who else. But I think that there two things can be true at once with, I think, creative dropped the ball for Joe Hendry, and there was a better way to showcase him and Nick Nemeth and Moose and that whole entire title situation without having it go to WWE in the sense of Trick Williams. Like, I think there was a better way to do that. That being said, I want to have faith because I want nothing but the best for TNA. It is just incredibly frustrating when you had literally lightning in a bottle and it was kind of like a, here, damn, he's champion. I'm like, all right, I guess. Okay, he was on WrestleMania to get pinned. I guess. Like, there was nothing we could do here. Sure. At this point, I guess if y'all are over it, so am I. I'm ready for the better presentation. And I guess that's what was going to happen. In the long run, though, Mike Santana is going to be up for this. I cannot wait for WWE fans to see what Mike Santana can do in the ring, on the microphone. And even to bring it full circle, Mike Santana is not going to be without his trials and tribulations with Ali, someone who the WWE audience is already familiar with. So I'm excited for that next chapter, and I want the best for Joe Hendry, if that means a better presentation elsewhere or not. I just think a lot of things were mismanaged here, and I'm optimistic for what this is setting up, but I'm still upset for Joe Hendry. I'm getting off my soapbox. Thank you for your time.
WWE fans who don't watch NXT Weekly did get a chance to take a look at Mike Santana this past week on NXT. He did have a match with Tavion Heights. Almost called him Tavion Williams. I don't know. Maybe because Trick is the TNA World Champion. Let's talk about it. I swear I'll stop eventually. It ain't gonna be today. So he had a match against Tavion Heights that was a lot of fun and very well received by fans and backstage alike. So that's great. Santana is a dude for sure. He shows out, he comes, and he's always Matt Cardona, he's always ready. He is the guy who is there to work, and he is unapologetically himself. I can't say enough good things about Santana. Y'all have heard me talk about it. That one was that was loaded up, and I wasn't supposed to say that. The title change, it made sense. Trick has been straddling heel for a little while. If the next person to win it back is a TNA guy, it has to be a babyface, and they have to win it from a dastardly heel or someone who is being pegged as the bad guy. Hendry's not that guy. They were never going to turn him while he was champion. Although you could have had him turn into the guy who's, you know, Summer of Punk, going to take the title out the door, never come back. I'm going to WWE. This is, you know, like he did in Ring of Honor before he went to WWE. You could have done that, but I don't think they wanted to risk turning Joe on his way to WWE, which is not happening again until his contract's over at the end of the year. Trick makes sense. They've been teasing this heel turn, or at least this darker presentation, for months. Now they have to execute. Now they have to do it in a way. And I kind of jokingly said that commentary was very heavy-handed tonight about Trick. They don't like him. They don't like what he's doing. They all night they were just hammering him and like big upping Steve Macklin the whole
time.
By
they mean Hannafin. Hannafin hated him tonight.
It was Hannafin. Hannafin was back in WWE mode doing this. His NXT training came back for him. Which again, it's not bad. It's part of the story, but doing Trick winning on the PLE made sense. Having Trick presented as this heel that everyone hates. And if you look at socials, all the wrestlers, it was funny. The babyface wrestlers for TNA were like, what the hell is this? We hate it. The heel wrestlers were saying, you know, oh, Joe Hendry, you let us down. You're a failure. There is more story to tell there, which I appreciate. And I really hope they pull the strings. They're starting to with the Kazarian match that they announced for Against All Odds, which again, I don't really love them going back to Kazarian and Hendry, but sure, this is what they'll do. It's Against All Odds. It's a show that, quite frankly, we're not doing a review for at the end of the day, so I don't care. People in Tempe will love the match because it's a live event. It'll be good, but I don't expect, you know, fireworks out of it. So as it relates to Santana, this is where it's very frustrating for me, is they are very much big upping Steve Macklin right now. And it's not a bad thing. It's more the idea that it feels like they're going to try and eventually get a Trick Williams and Trick Williams and Steve Macklin type of interaction. Because if they keep calling Macklin Captain America, well, Trick's eventually going to have to step up and say, well, Captain, you know, daddy's home. So we'll see what they do. But right now, I think Trick is the right guy to hold it. He's rudderless in NXT. He keeps losing title matches. He keeps getting into whatever stories, winning them and then losing immediately. This is something for him to sink his teeth into, which I appreciate as someone who's watched Trick since the beginning and also likes to see him develop further. Is he going to end up on? Why rush him to main roster when you have TNA in this iteration to work with? And how many times were you going to keep doing inter-promotional title matches and not pull the trigger? For the longest time, I thought it was going to be the Rascals winning the tag titles. But instead, I thought they were going to win the NXT tag titles, not from Fraxium, but from another team, from Wesley's team that are now called High Rise, which, sure. I thought that's where they were going. And I still see the Rascals being the first ones to win WWE gold out of this whole thing. So here we are. We're going to start with the main championship after several defenses of all the other titles, the Knockouts women's title, the Knockouts title, the X Division championship. Basically, all of them have been defended up until this point, and Joe's the first one to lose. That's good. So Trick winning, it works. We'll see where it lands. Again, if this goes all the way to Slammiversary and TNA triumphs over evil Trick Williams and NXT and Stone gets involved and blah, 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 then there's good storytelling there. But right now, we're in the infancy. They're really pushing it. Definitely a lot of jokes to be made. We'll see what they do.
I have jokes. That's all I have is jokes. Jokes and brokes.
Got a lot of jokes. We do. Trick is now in the intro, by the way, which is hilarious.
Get your money, Trick. Let me be clear here. I'm not mad at Trick Williams. Get your money. Be on two shows. Work twice a week. I respect it. Get your money.
So, full disclosure, I didn't mention this. I was at the tapings on what was Saturday night. So I did see these matches that were taped for the next 2 weeks ahead of time. And there's also a report over on Fightful. So really all I was watching for tonight was how it was shot differently or what was edited. And also the backstage stuff, because they don't show that to the live crowd. If you've never been to a TNA show, they just matches. I joked in the Discord. I said, you know, I was at this show when they taped it. AMA asked me anything. And someone was like, were you like total nonstop action or whatever? And I was like, the show started at 4 p.m. Eastern. I thought they were going to end by 6 p.m. Eastern because they only have 2 weeks of tapings to do. And each show with commercials, you only need 90 minutes of content because there's about a half hour of commercials. So it's like, we can be out of here by 6. That's easy. Great. We can do explosion matches. We can get everything in and out. And they don't show you the backstage stuff. And they don't show you the stuff that was maybe on NXT that week. Or there's a bunch of stuff that's omitted. So you just need the matches. And that's 2 hours. They went till 7:30 and I was very sad.
I'm about to say filming, 2 hours in filming, that respectfully, that's unreal.
They're very, very quick and efficient with this stuff. But no, they went 3.5. That was very sad. Wrestling should be done in 2 hours, in and out.
That's crazy. He said it's like church. I got 2 hours.
No, everybody's got a job to do. The announcers overplaying the finish for Battleground. We talk about that throughout the night. But really, the first match that we actually open with is for the tag titles, number one contendership. It's the Rascals defeating First Class, Myers and Edwards, and Laredo, who's gone solo because Octagon Jr. got taken out by the system earlier. So Laredo's like, hey, I'm just going to go at it alone. And at the tapings, they didn't tell us why. So we were all very confused as to why Laredo came out on his own in this match that was pinned as a four-way number one contendership for the tag titles. Like, we figured out, it's okay, someone took out his tag partner, no one's replacing him. It just felt very strange to see Laredo go off on his own. Great match, a lot of fun. First Class trying to beat the Outlaw Rule was very funny. For those who don't know what the Outlaw Rule is, in 1998, there was a tag team match, the New Age Outlaws. They both tried to pin each other to win. Actually, they did once to win a match, and then they said never again. And that's what they tried to do tonight with First Class. And the referee was like, nope, this exists all across wrestling. Trey gets the blind tag on AJ. It's a very solid tag. Hits the Meteora on AJ and gets the pin on Laredo. Rascals win. They're facing the Nemesis against all odds. Thoughts and prayers.
Honestly, First Class, you get on my nerves. Compliment. When they tried to do, so I remember when this spot happened in WWE a couple of years back with the New Day, and I'm just like, just pin each other. And the same words left my mouth. I'm like, just pin each other. Shout out to the ref saying, I thought this was fantastic. I do like the ending, but also my biggest question was, how come no one came out for Laredo?
I was equally confused by that, but also, like, what other luchadors could come out for Laredo? I feel like there's only two of them right now in this
company. There's a million people that hate the system, so I'm sports confused. I'm so sports confused.
I want to look at the roster real quick, just in case I'm missing somebody. Somebody, is there anyone in a mask here? There's Laredo. There's Octagon. Is there anyone else who wears a mask in this company? Nope. There's nobody else. That's why nobody came. The luchadors, just there's only two of them.
That's crazy. I'm sorry. I spilled crumbs on my keyboard because I'm a fatty. I eat at my desk.
So do I, but I got a desk pad for that.
I need to get a desk cover. I need one of those.
Like $10 on Amazon. You can do it.
Joel, you know I spend my hard-earned money.
On video games?
That was a sentence. I'm sorry.
Anyway, this was good. And Laredo Kid, by the way, he's got a North American title shot at Worlds Collide coming up June 7th, the night after, against All Odds. So I do like that at least they're giving Laredo the shine. And I assume this will lead to Laredo and Octagon Jr. having a match against the system, maybe on the pre-show for Against All Odds. Or after. They might just do it at the tapings.
I don't know, man. I got to tell you, tonight, especially with the direction of everything, I was sports disappointed, sports disinterested a little bit. So it's kind of like, if you already didn't have him come out, and then to face the system, to what end? And then it's just... That's all. Maybe. I got, Your Honor.
Oh, yeah. Octagon, I think, is also on Worlds Collide, isn't he? Somewhere on the card. Regardless, that'll be fun. Yeah, Octagon is teaming with Aerostar and Mr. Iguana. They're taking on Dragon Lee, Joaquin Wilde, and Cruz del Toro.
Sometimes I feel like, again, there's so many people who hate the system. Not one person to come out. Well, one of the guys from Northern Armor and Adudas Icarus.
That, so we'll get to that in a few minutes, but they did some weird things in Canada for the Northern Armory. We'll get there in a few minutes. Yeah, this was exactly as it is. Rascals are going to face the Nemeth. The Nemeths are backstage. They get interviewed. They're cocky. And then, really, they come back from break. AJ Francis and Casey Navarro are walking backstage. You're like, where were you? Where were you? Where were you? And then Mike Santana kind of just attacks AJ and they brawl. I assume that that's going to be AJ and Santana against all odds at this point.
Leave Santana alone, AJ Francis. You always find a way to worm your way around the title scene. I've had it. And leave KC Nefaro alone. It's not his fault that you didn't feel that you got tagged, pal. I don't like the... Leave KC Nefaro. Get away from him. Get a job. That was a quote from Demi Lovato. Get away from her.
get a job, get away from her.
Yeah.
I know that tweet. I know.
Yes.
I know those. Do you think, I think AJ is going to get involved in the Santana trick match on Tuesday.
Oh, that Reese, if you're going to shenan once, you're going to shenan again. I don't know if Trick is going to cheat like he did with Joe Hendry, or if Ali's going to cheat because he's mad, or if AJ's going to, that, yo, there's no clean finish on that. There's no clean finish there.
My initial reading of everything when I was at the tapings was that they would do Santana and Kazarian for number one contendership to face Trick at Slammiversary. But then I also thought, well, that's a long way away. If you set that up against all odds, then you've got a month and a half to tell the story of Trick and presumably Santana, because Kazarian would have been defeated by Santana. And instead, they're, I guess they're going to prolong that because Joe Hendry and Frankie Kazarian are doing a match. So it feels like AJ and Santana are doing a match.
I feel like the end game here would be Trick Williams versus Santana at Slammiversary. That's going to be a big show. And I think having a WWE guy headline a TNA show and then lose, that would put butts in seats. My butt would be sad.
I'm still wondering what other things they're going to pull out for this show, because they really need to not sell it out, but they need a good showing at a UBS Arena. And I don't know, no disrespect to Trick, I don't think Trick is the one who's putting a bunch of butts in seats.
That's fair. But I think by this time, between now and then, I think Santana, if I personally like, I've liked Santana for a very long time. But I think if people see him and hear him, the expectation or the hope would be you guys would love Santana. All you got to do is see him. All you got to do is see him. I could see, because people love Trick. I saw someone in the chat earlier say, well, he's more over than Oba. Again, disclaimer, I don't watch NXT, but there's always a whoop that Trick, and the pop for him, even when he was in TNA versus Oba, respectfully.
They're also running at different kind of points in their career right now.
Fair.
So regardless, we'll leave it for now. Mila Grace, I have to get that right because it's MY, so I want to say Mila. Mila Grace and Harley Hudson are the new Spitfire. For those who didn't watch Under Siege,
stop.
Spitfire did not win the TNA Knockouts tag team titles. They did disband as a result. And going into the match, they show Mila Grace and Harley Hudson sitting at ringside. And I'm like, come on, how obvious can you get that one tag team's getting split up and this new one's coming in? Well, regardless, they do this whole explanation of who they are, where they come from, and I love it. I'm like, this is going really well. And then personal concierge George Iceman interrupts in the middle of what was supposed to look like a pre-tape, and I'm cackling. I thought it was very well executed. And Zaya Brookside's there for some reason, so why not? I thought this was really well done. Listen, the tag team, sure, it is what it is, but I thought this was a really clever way to tell the story of both women and also have the introduction of Iceman, of personal concierge.
I was sports confused. Compliment. Because was Zaya sitting back there the whole time those girls were recorded? And what was that? Two, Iceman, why would, presuming this is happening in the corner locker room, why would Santino be in here? You see all the, I was so sports confused. I live for this. You know, tag team aside, I just want to say you can have more than one, more than three tag teams in the women's division. You can have, I promise you you can have more than three. You don't have to Franken team a team together to go against your established team that you Franken team together to then break up your original Franken team to then, you don't have to do that. Like, you can actually have tag teams. I believe. I believe even.
I haven't seen him in a while. Well, actually, we just saw him on Friday, this past Friday on SmackDown.
Uncle Howdy, that.
Well, that is him. Yeah, Zaya Brookside just sitting there was hilarious.
That sent me. That was amazing.
Is it just because all the Brits hang out? I guess it's just like how all the Latino stars hang out.
I don't know, but I have to tell you, Harley, is it Mila?
Mila.
Mila. Their accents, I live. This was me trying to understand it the whole time. It's like, yes.
So
Yes. So
later on in the night, we got to do one thing at a time. I will say this, because they didn't show us that promo in the arena, we then saw the Elegance reveal. We saw that live because it was taped in front of the audience. And when they came out to do their, you know, to do their lines, no one was saying what, because that would have been really shitty, but people were definitely looking at each other being like, ah, it's a heavy accent.
There's Irish and Welsh together?
Very thick Welsh accent. Is she Irish or is she Scottish?
I thought she said I was, hold on, the first Irish signing. Irish.
Okay, she's Irish. Irish?
Okay. Yeah, I wrote it down.
Okay, I wasn't sure, but it's just so, they were such thick accents. I was like, oh, this is going to be tough sometimes.
Honestly, maybe it's because my family's West Indian. So I'm used to people saying things really fast and with patois, mushmouth, whatever you want to call it. But this was me watching it the whole time. I love these girls, but it was fantastic. I also watch a lot of Drag Race UK. So that's not my first brush with a Welsh accent, a Welsh speaking English accent. So I was like, we could do this. I live. I love it. I love it.
I hope in this crossover world that they have, they take advantage of WWE's dialect coaches. I say that with the utmost respect to both women, who I'm sure are thinking about how they're coming across on television.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead, because I was going to move on. Let's finish your thing.
I was going to say, if we're going to talk about crossovers, low-key want a women's Nation of Domination. There's enough Irish, Scottish, British women that they could just really go be the last kickers, go around beating up women. I would kind of live.
All right, I don't hate it. Laying Lee does defeat Ash by Elegance. This match is happening because, at Against All Odds, after Masha won her match against Victoria Crawford, she challenged Laying Lee at Against All Odds for the Knockout title. Robert Stone came out and said, no, Lee has to win a match. This is the match. Iceman did the Brampton women are ugly shtick, whatever, we're in Canada. When he did it at Against All Odds, he ripped up a Toronto Maple Leafs flag, and that immediately made me cheer. So I don't know who to cheer for in that match. Regardless, Ash by Elegance is having a brand release later tonight, so Ash comes out solo while Personal Concierge does his thing. In the match, Ash doing the fake karate shit was very stupid, very funny. But in the end, Thunderstruck and a spinning TKO gets the win for Laying Lee. And really the big news out of this is Masha Slamovich comes out after the match, lays out the challenge Against All Odds for the Knockouts title, Laying Lee, Masha Slamovich. Thoughts on the segment? And then we'll talk about the Elegance release.
When he said that line about Brampton, I heard it in your voice, Joel Pearl, because you'd be running down Canada. Now, I'm not from Canada. It's not my hood. But you'd be saying some things, and Brampton is one of those places you'd be saying things about. So I was like, you must be listening to the show, Iceman. I also don't blame Ash by Elegance. I would not want to fight Laying Lee either, because when she did the first couple of spin kicks, I was like, I'm walking up the ramp at that point. And then when she did the spinning Thunderstruck, she had that extra stank on it. I was like, I'd be mad too. This is an HR violation, but you're a wrestler. I don't care. I'm complaining. This match between her and Masha is going to be fantastic. And I want this to mean something more for Laying Lee. Do I think she's going to win? No. But is this match going to slap? Yes. So I'm going to win.
Folks, get in your super chats, get in your hopper chats. Maggie Lee is now known as M by Elegance. I thought they were calling her Margaret, but M is just so hokey and silly that it's perfect. She comes out, Heather Reckless comes out, Heather by Elegance comes out. They do a toast. Harley Hudson, Mila Grace come out. They introduce themselves again to the live crowd and then say they're going to make an impact. They throw the champagne in M's face. And that's the segment. It was a little something. The Elegance brand adds another, and I think it's perfect. She came in during that match by Elegance at Under Siege. So M by Elegance is now part of the Elegance brand. And this is the thing that I like, is that they're going to start using Ash as the person. But I'm wondering if they're going to free bird the Knockouts tag titles and let M be a tag team champion when Ash isn't available. So that, I think that's eventually the culmination. Ash is unavailable, so M is in the match and loses the match and becomes a whole thing. That's down the line. But I like that they've made the elegances a little bit bigger.
I will say that maybe a Freebird down the line, but the Glam Syndicate, I could see her being delusional just one more time and saying, I want that title. And these girls are going to have those tag titles. And if I really feel spicy, somebody can get that X Division title. And then she's going to be brought down to earth again. But I can't wait for that. Sometimes you got to get a little big headed. I can't wait for that.
Patrick Moore adding a super chat asking, did Ash get hurt in that? Or is it a good sell at the end? As far as I could tell, it was a good sell because I saw, again, I was there for the match. She got up on her own power. She walked out just fine. Doesn't look like she was injured. I think we would have had something if she was, but no, it looks like everything was fine for Ash. She did sell her tailbone a lot because she kept landing on her butt. But other than that, I think she just took the moves, and Laying Lee is supposed to be a credible challenger for the Knockouts title. So this should be the one. I love this. Ice by Elegance for Iceman.
Honestly, give him the quarter of Jay so he just comes to the ring.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Stop it. Stop it. I hate that. Stop it.
Ice. Thy elegance.
Mustafa Ali defeats Raj Singh. This actually opened the tapings live. They did the two matches for Explosion, but then this was actually the first match that they taped for Impact. But this happened later on in the night, actually. Tasha Steelz protects Ali from Raj's corner dropkick, and then Ali hits the 450 for the win. Really, again, the post-match is what's important. The Great Hands attack Raj Singh by order of Ali. Tasha tells Ali to stop. Ali shoves Tasha again, just like he's been doing lately. It's getting a lot of people feeling a certain way about this this whole storyline. Tasha realigns with everyone. They all leave together. Ali's unhinged, and it's definitely making people feel a little uncomfortable around him, especially as it's been him going after Tasha Steelz for the last couple of weeks. What were your thoughts on the match? Before I give it to you, sorry, I got to mention, Raj Singh was the guest eighth man for the eight-man tag on Friday. Brampton didn't know, and I felt a little bad for Raj Singh. Vallabh, who's in the chat, has been saying for weeks leading up to it, or not weeks, but days leading up to the event, that it should have been someone who has some sort of, someone who was Indian because they were in Brampton, which has a very large Indian population. Truth be told, not a ton of Bramptonites were there. There was people from outside of the Brampton area. So it wasn't just all, anyway, not important. Point is, Raj Singh was the special guy that they brought in for this, and it wasn't what I would have done. But regardless, Mustafa Ali is unhinged. Your thoughts on the match and all the stuff.
The match made sense. Well, let me start with the eight-man tag. Him coming in makes sense because he was the original Fall Guy before the Good Hands. And then the Good Hands became the Fall Guys. Became the Fall Guys again, and here we are. That makes sense. This match from that also makes sense. To me, this match was good. I also agree with you. When people started chanting, who are you? I was like, don't do him like that. He was literally here last time. Don't do him like that. That being said, Ali, baby, there's not a lot of things you could do to make me mad, but you keep touching my girl, Tasha. Grab her by the hair, and she saved you? Sir, Tasha's outfit tonight looked amazing, and she still took almost a spear for you, so what are we? All right, I get the angle we're going in. All I want to do is, like, we need to rescue Tasha Steelz. Where's Daddy Swinger? Lure her with the fanny pack. We need to get her out of there stat. This guy got her with the Stockholm Syndrome. I've had it. He's a bully. Ali is a bully. He's a bully. He's a bully. Why you have to bully? He's the real bully. He's a bully, okay? I'm not the cops. I'm calling Santino or the fashion police. Are they busy right now? Not JDC. He sucks right now.
I was going to say, yeah, one of them is JDC. I don't think you want that.
JDC sucks right now. Where's the other guy? Where's Fandango? Tyler, not, Tyler no, he Breeze? Was Fandango. Damn.
It was Tyler Breeze?
Yes, where's he at right now?
He still works for WWE, but kind of back, not really backstage. He does some consulting stuff. He's got Flatbacks, which is a school in Florida.
Come get your friend. JDC's wildin', bro.
There is some really good stuff coming from this story. I can tell you that much. I'm not going to spoil it, but there are some beats that are coming that I really enjoy, and I think that people will also start to enjoy. And just some unexpected heroes coming out of this, which, again, if Ali is using this opportunity to make new stars or work with new stars, then he is then he's giving back to the TNA run that he has. There's still a world title in there for him for sure, but right now this is an opportunity for him to kind of tell different stories on his ascent back into the title picture, and I like this.
Yes.
Ariana Grace and Santino are backstage. Ariana sad, Santino is proud because they had a match and they did the match. It was Ariana and Tessa, and Tessa won, which is everyone expected it. Tessa got concussed in the match. There is that. Although if you ask her, she didn't. And then of course she did. Ariana brings out Jimmy Corderas, former WWE referee, but also a real life friend of Santino. And it's official that Jimmy Corderas would be the special guest referee for the tag match. So let's just get into the tag match, because this was a big old pile of nonsense. Robert Stone and Victoria Crawford, no, not Tessa Blanchard, as originally produced or as originally promoted, they defeat Santino Marella and Ariana Grace. As mentioned, Jimmy Corderas is a special guest referee. So Lish comes out with Stone and Crawford and Tessa. And when they did this live, they gave us no reason why, other than what Stone said about the three rules and she's the enforcer of the match. Even commentary was like, what the hell is she doing here? This is part of a bigger story, and we'll get to it in a minute. But regardless, Crawford steps in, crowd was happy about that, and then Robert Stone says there are three rules. One is that this is a 10-minute... He says the match is 10 minutes. Originally, he called it a 10-minute time limit draw, and I was like, are you giving away the finish to the live crowd? Because we all thought it would be a 10-minute time limit draw, but no, he reset the line, so they cut it, so it was edited down. Lish is the enforcer, the Cobra is banned, and if Santino loses it, then he loses his job, and Stone takes it. Again, I asked the question, Crest of Star, who does Robert Stone work for? Okay, glad we know. There's a DJZ reference. I like that. Do you know who DJZ was or is currently?
I do not, unfortunately.
He is Joaquin Wilde, part of Legado del Fantasma in WWE. He was Zema Ion, DJZ. He was a former X Division champion. They made a reference to it tonight. It was very funny. Tessa gets ejected early. There was a lot of Grace and Crawford in the match. Eventually, Robert Stone pulls out Jimmy Corderas. For some reason, Jimmy Corderas thinks Santino did it because he just happens to be around the area he was pulled out. And then Stone shoves Corderas into Santino for, again, the reason of Corderas is being stupid. Crawford does a scissor kick to Ariana Grace. Stone pins Ariana. Lish counts the fall, and she looks disinterested, and she keeps pointed to the ring. And I really think that the whole story here is that Lish made a deal with Stone to get the system something out of this. That's how it feels.
Oh, absolutely.
What did they get?
Let me tell you a few things, right? I have no way to answer that unbiasedly because I don't even know what is this? This is camp derogatory. I don't know what this is. I don't know who these higher ups that Stone works for, that Santino, who's been running this fine, can't seem to get in contact with, that you could just make matches, but then you have to compete in matches and you booking yourself. Okay, work, diva. You could just change the rules on the fly. I don't know. Who is this helping? And then furthermore, TNA is playing in my face with this whole, well, she's a bully storyline. Stop. 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 You're frying me with this. You're frying me with this one. I don't. I'm sports confused, derogatory. What's going on? Like, okay, so now you've got Victoria Crawford fighting for her. I mean, the whole thing is confusing, and I don't know who this helps.
Correction. While he was a founding member of Legado del Fantasma, he is part of the LWO now, is Joaquin Wilde, the former DJZ. chat, thank you for getting there. Do Myers and Edwards versus Hank and Tank, and they win the NXT tag titles. Just do that.
That would be very system. That would be up there with Honor No More, and I could see it happening, and that would be funny and a refresh for the system that I would honestly be interested in.
Let them run roughshod over NXT so that I can laugh about Tuesday nights again. Why not?
Do you want to know something on Tuesdays?
Seems like a really awful idea that I would absolutely love to see.
Honestly, Lish on NXT, I want everything bad for the system except for Lish because I live. I support women's wrongs.
That's true. Have you gotten the t-shirt yet?
No, I'm still waiting on an official ring from the system and a t-shirt from the system. If you need my P.O. box, guys, please.
I should have looked for the t-shirts for you. They were like $60. That's Canadian at the show. And I was like, I don't think I'm going to be doing that. Not happening. If Lish wants to send you a shirt, she can get in touch with you.
He said, do you want to know something? I'm not buying it. No. I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it. That's what you got to know.
I said, I do not. Mance Warner defeats Bryce Hansen. Commentary spends more time talking about Trick overreacting than the match itself. Mance wins with the pay window. And then post-match, Steph DeLander says they want the international title. And this is a very good feud for the international champion to have. If you haven't, let's just spoil it now. Steve Macklin is still the international champion after tonight. This is a great feud for Mance as they're trying to tell the story of Steve Macklin's babyface ascent. Mance is a character guy. He is a character wrestler. And as you're working with Macklin, who is also working on character building in his story, these are two guys that could have a hell of a match. So I'm looking forward to that. I don't know if you have anything to add on Warner and Hansen and the international title that they want.
I'm so sorry to Bryce Hansen. I wouldn't want to fight Mance Warner. I would not. You couldn't pay me because I feel like him and Stephanie would still beat me up. Nothing. But like you said, this is going to be a good program for the both of them. And I think that with how aggressive Steve Macklin has been, this is someone who can match his freak 10 times fold and not have it get to the territory of, all due respect to people like Sami Callihan and Raven, not get it bloody gory. Like, I mean, never mind. I lied. This is Mance Warner. He's Nick Gage. Never mind. I'm sorry. I lied. I cap. I haberdashery. My apologies.
What just happened?
I said Mance isn't as violent, and then I realized what I was saying, and then I stopped myself.
He is pretty violent. He is, yeah.
Like, he's not engaged. Yes, he is, bro. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, no, he did a barbed wire match on TNA. He's GCW. He's a hardcore wrestler. He knows. They sent him over to MLW, and he beat the shit out of everything there. Shout out to Matthew Justice, great guy. Yeah, there you go. Just so Macklin needs another blood feud.
Honestly, at this point, Macklin's going to have no blood left in his body. Let the bloodletting begin. Poor guy.
And again, like, Macklin had a great story going with EY. It wasn't perfect, but there were a lot of strong beats to it. The one that he can tell with Mance is different, a little more based in Psycho, a little bit less based on ghosts. Speaking of ghosts, the Northern Armory. This was strange. They turned them face because Canada. They faced the system. They faced Moose. Who was it? Moose, Myers, and JDC. Mm-hmm. And it ended with EY pinning Moose. So now he wants title shot. Eric Young does. Moose walks in with JDC. Moose accepts. And then at the end, they do this long, cold, weird stare of a ghost. And it was very creepy because it feels like they're foreshadowing that this babyface turn for the Northern Armory won't last too long. What do you think of all this? Turning them and then doing this thing. And of course, the next division title match between Eric Young and Moose, who I think at this point might be the longest tenured members of the roster. Moose actually, for consecutive years at this point, might be the longest tenured roster member in TNA.
I'm trying to think of anyone who would beat them, but Tommy Dreamer isn't active anymore. Like, we see him on screen, but Dreamer's not active. It would have to be Moose.
I'm talking active wrestlers. Moose might be the guy who is still going and has been, and I'm talking consecutive. I know EY had a break, so we don't really get it, but he's been with TNA since the beginning on and off. But I think Moose has been with the company.
Yeah, not even Kazarian. Before,
the whole time. Yeah, Kazarian left for AEW. Rosemary's another one that people are mentioning in the chat, but she's not as she's had time off. Edward Edwards also, I think, took some time off.
Nah. Now that I'm thinking about it, Moose is like literally always ready. No pun intended. He's always there.
Anyway,
I will say, as far as Eric Young and the X Division Championship, I could see it. Because unlike anyone else who went against Moose, he has people who are willing to do what the system is willing to do. But the system has the numbers. Also, I'm here. Eric Young, I'm now convinced you watch this post show. The spooky beard, he's the Phantom of the Opera, except the opera's TNA. I'm here for it. I'm here for it. That weird stare, he's a ghost. He about to terrorize y'all. And anytime you touch that X Division, you about to be cursed. The Ring of Ori Kalkos. I made this joke on Saturday. I'm going to make it again. He's going to make it where you got to take Madame Zeroni up the hill. You just give him the X Division. Just give him the X Division title. And honestly, I would like to see it. Let these two bald guys terrorize each other. Because how are you going to fight a ghost, Moose?
A moose scoring a ghost? I'm into it.
Oh my God. Wrestling!
Well, that match is happening next week anyway. We mentioned Rosemary earlier. So Xia Brookside at Under Siege finally went hardcore in that she got a belt instead of whipping people.
So hard, so hardcore.
And because she is now this hardcore, she's been challenged to Monster's Ball, which is just what you do immediately when you start using a belt against referees and other officials in a wrestling match.
That was such an escalation. Roland? Yes, you have beaten me with a belt. Now you know black belt jujitsu. Go fight the Jedi's. What? Yo, my guy, what?
I so stupid. I turned to my friend. So they taped the match last week, or last Saturday. And I turned to my friend who I was with at the show. And when Xia breaks out the belt, because that's what she's gonna do, I turned around and I was like, you know what commentary is saying right now? When she breaks out the belt, they say she calls this daddy's home, and I almost said it with a straight face.
You know, when you said that, I read this Xia Darkside.
Such a and she calls it daddy's home.
You know what? Before I talk crap, I had the same feeling about Julia Hart, and then she started doing hardcore stuff. So maybe there's something about Ms. Xia Brookside, I don't know. But if you think taking out a belt and the next logical answer is Monster's Ball, Clockwork Orange, man, yo, you skipped a step. You skipped like several steps, but you crucially skipped a step.
I mean, now that they're not allowing much blood, this is just what you're going to do. Hey, congratulations. You used the belt. That left a mark. Monster's Ball.
Come on, Xia Darkside.
We're going to be calling her that from now on. Anyway, let's talk about it. Trick Williams opens up his promo saying, what's going on, Brampton? And I'm just like, mother, you weren't here. Well, I mean, you weren't, but like you left Friday nights. Like you weren't even around Saturday. Neither was Joe Hendry. And then he mentions, you know, this isn't about Joe Hendry. It's not about Elijah or Mike Santana. And I'm like, Elijah? That's random because they had the tag match on the Friday. And then it all comes together because it's going to be Elijah versus Mike Santana or Trick Williams at Against All Odds. Sure, why not? Okay. Calling a trick an A, that's a big no for me. I don't know why someone said that was okay because it's just a stupid, stupid name. I get that he tries to do trick into everything, but like this is one where I was like, we got too try hardy on this one. Let's talk about it. Trick Williams cuts a promo. He's not there. Your thoughts?
Running away from the grind, I see. Oh, not showing up to work as the champion, I fear. Oh my goodness. Brampton too small town for you?
I mean, it's pretty small town, in fairness.
Well, the upside of this is it makes sense. If you're going to be a dastardly piece of crap heel, I can't be bothered to show up for a promotion that I really don't work for. And I just wanted your title to have this title. I can't criticize him too much for doing this because Kenny Omega did the same thing when he took it off of Rich Swann. So he would show up when he felt like showing up, but Kenny Omega was like, I don't give a F. I'm doing what I want. So I'm not too terribly mad about it, but also you have to show up to work now. The way Tom Hannifin was running you down on commentary, he called you a son of a bitch. He said this pisses me off.
He's got to be careful. He's got to be careful because Trick might beat up Tom Hannifin, and then we got Vic Joseph for the next few weeks on commentary. Nobody wants that. Watch yourself.
Commentators been getting beat up as of late, so don't make Matthew Raywall get up on him and be like, damn, his commentator day. Don't make him have to wrestle off his boots, pal.
I just don't think they should do this. It's a big problem if Trick beats up Tom Hannifin.
If Trick beats up Tom Hannifin, Crest the Star is ready to step in and take his place in these tying ties while he recovers.
Good luck to you on that.
Good luck in my future endeavors. Thanks, pal.
It is very funny that, like, someone in the chat's mentioning he wasn't champ at the time of the tapings. They try so hard to make it seem like, you know, whatever they're doing is live. And at this point, wrestling fans, like, they know this isn't a live show. It's been taped. And it's like, when I asked Joe Hendry about it, about taping out of order, and Joe was trying to give me, like, the full-on kayfabe, like, oh, it's live. And I was like, no, stop it, Joe. Like, stop it. I get it. They're trying to protect whatever they're trying to protect, but I laugh every time. It's like they're doing their best. That was why I was not at all surprised when you and I talked about it, when they announced the match with Trick and Joe. And I was like, yeah, they'll probably have Trick win the title. And then it'll be neither of them will be on the tapings the next night, because in 2 weeks they'll be doing Against All Odds. So, like, they won't give away the finish and they'll just focus on other matches, which they did for those tapings. Yeah, it's fine. They did a few recordings before Battleground. They did the talk at the beginning of the show, the one that the eulogy, the funeral eulogy that Ray Walton Hannifin did. That was at the beginning of the tapings in Toronto, in Brampton. So, like, they already knew what was going on. They already knew the finish and what they were going to put out there. It was just clearly not, you know, it wasn't for public consumption yet.
Gotta protect the business, pal. Go into business for yourself, Joel.
Yeah, stop protecting the business. The business is ruining us. Ruining all of us. Next week, Joe Hendry speaks. Probably recorded it in Orlando.
Stop, man. Nobody showed up to work. What is happening here?
I mean, Hendry and Trick were not on the tapings. So, like, I didn't expect to see them anyway. I felt bad for the kids who thought he was going to be in the main event, but not important. The Elegance is take on Mila Grace and Harley Hudson. Monsters Ball. Daddy's home. Rosemary versus Zaya Brookside. Sorry, Zaya Darkside. EY moves for the X Division Championship. Santana, Hardy, and Matt Hardy and Leon Slater take on Kazarian and the Nemeths. And then Against All Odds, they've started that build. Elijah takes on the winner of Trick versus Santana, so Trick Williams. Masha Slamovich takes on Lane Leaf for the Knockouts tag title. Sorry, for the Knockouts title. The Rascals take on the Nemeth for the TNA tag titles. And then Hendry versus Kazarian, because while all the heels shit talked Hendry losing the title, Kazarian did it the loudest.
You must fight Frankie Kazarian to the end of time, Joe Hendry, until your time here is done.
why you gotta use the Churchill speech? We shall go on to the end.
An old man just came through me. The theos, the spirits speak through me.
And we shall never surrender. Sorry. The International Championship, speaking of Churchill, is on the line. Steve Maclin defeats Matt Cardona. This was a really, 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 really good match. It was a very solid match, and there's nothing wrong with that because it's solid and fluid. It's a standard main event, and that just works, and I like that. This backstage before Maclin comes out, Tommy Dreamer basically says, you know, you're a superhero, go be a superhero. And that's before Hannifin's just like, Trick Williams is a piece of shit for like the 50th time. And then says, Steve Maclin is the real true TNA champion. I'm like, I think we get it. I think we get it this time. Not so sure. But then Maclin, the Dreamer superhero speech was just so unnecessary.
It's get what you want me to like. I got relax.
You get it. We really understand who you need. I did make the joke that it was like the best friends' husbands are facing off, because IRL Chelsea and Deonna.
That's funny.
So you did get Chelsea's better chance from the crowd throughout. Macklin going after, Cardona going after Steve Macklin's head for the match. That was really good. You pick a body part and you work on it. Why wouldn't you go after the guy who had the skull fracture in storyline for the last few weeks? So it was really solid stuff, but not to be outdone. Macklin uses his head to do the comeback, which again, just good psychology, really crisp ideas. Cardona goes to use the belt. Daniel Spencer nearly gets distracted, but for once actually recuperates. Cardona still hits the radio silence, but Macklin reverses a top rope move into a power bomb, gets caught in crosshairs, gets KIA, gets the pin. Macklin retains the international championship. Very good stuff. The crowd was not chanting "Where's Chelsea?" They were chanting "Chelsea's better."
Yeah. Especially after he did the Unprettier, they were chanting "Chelsea's better." Some people tried to go, "No, she's not," but I'm like, I'm sorry, Chelsea's better. I'm a Chelsea fan. I support women's wrongs.
Solid match. What do you think of this?
I think, first of all, I want to say that from when Steve Macklin came to where he's at now, I hate and I love for him that he's getting the Eddie Edwards, "You're the heart and soul of TNA" treatment. I hate that they're kind of forcing it, but he could do it. After everything, he's fought a ghost. He's fought Santana. Josh Alexander, that y'all remember that dude, that guy who's being a bald asshole. Like, there's so many things that Macklin can do, and I'm so happy for him in this situation. And I think me, as someone who was kind of like Macklin, and now I'm like, you know what, Macklin, you do your big one, you beat those boys up. Because if there's anyone to hold that quote unquote undercard, or even if him and Mike Santana and the roles were switched, I wouldn't bat an eye. He's such a good top elite performer, and I'm so happy for him. This match was fantastic. Matt Cardona is one of my favorite wrestlers. He is just like a Swiss Army knife of professional wrestling. He could do hardcore, comedy, straight wrestling, graps. So this match to me really is something like, with respect to TNA, Matt Cardona is kind of like one of your starter feuds. Because he'll come and get a check. He'll come and get a check and he'll give you a good match. So I'm not mad at this. I do see eventually him being in the main title scene, but for right now, this is fine. I kind of wish they're not forcing it so heavy-handedly on the he's now the heart and soul. Like, we kind of get it. We get it, but you don't got to, like, relax. You know what I mean? Like, not so much.
Yeah, but Trick Williams is a real piece of shit, isn't he? Can't believe they did that to can't believe Trick Williams is not going to show up to work.
Let me tell you, Tom Hannifin tonight turned into Don Callis in front of my real eyes, and I wasn't mad at that. And speaking of Don Callis, I want to give Iceman his flowers, right? Right. I want to give Iceman his flowers because no matter what people have been crapping on the elegance, whether they watch the show or not. But I tell you who's booked in on TV a lot. Yeah. Adding new people. Yeah. And there's only two other people I could think of who's doing that right now. And one of them is a Heyman and one of them is a Callis. You may not like everybody, but give him his flowers. Iceman is making sure, like, okay, but you're still going to see him on the TV. And they're champions. So.
We are back next week, as we always are. Again, no Against All Odds post-show, because the show starts at 10 p.m. Eastern. And there ain't no way we will be doing that particular post-show. Before I throw to the goodnights and the promos, I will ask this question. Out into the universe, TNA. What's with Carlos Silva's hat? Can we talk about the hat? Like, all the talent wear like the TNA logo hat. Why does your president wear a cap, like a T and a wrestling hat? Why does he just get the black hat with the white stitching? Did he go to a Lids? Could he not get the branded hat with the actual logo? So are we just doing this because TNA, like, it just stands out and people can be like, what's TNA wrestling? What's going on with Carlos Silva's hat? What's the deal? Okay, so what you got going on?
I hear voices in my head. I have a Randy Orton Baldur's Gate playthrough run over on twitch.tv/CrestaStar. It would make me very happy if you guys pulled up and watched. You can follow me over there. Also, I'm here every Thursday and every Saturday. Thursday, I'm here with the beautiful, the illustrious, my favorite co-host, one of my favorite co-hosts, the only co-host, for TNA, Joel Pearl. We go over all things TNA, and on Saturday, myself, Iridian, or Rick, or some combination of us three go over all things AEW Collision. I'm on social media, Cresta Star, CrestaStarr, and I look forward to talking to you. You look nice. I hope you find $20 on the floor. Your butt is jiggling today. Joel Pearl, what do you got going on?
I got $20 in this wallet I found.
Hey, listen, don't say that on TV. That's a crime. You might want to lay low.
It's a Canadian 20. That's like $15.
I want to say that's a really green 20. Holy crap.
This is legitimately my wallet. I just never have it nearby to make the bit. I did today because I had to transfer stuff over on a computer. Anyway, y'all know who I am. Y'all know who she is. I go in the weeds Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays over on Fightful Overbooked, although that show is also Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. Eastern, talking about everything in wrestling. Tomorrow, Paul London joins the show. If you know anything about Paul London now, he's insane, and it's the best kind of insane, so he's going to talk to us about a whole lot of insanity. And while we're at it, go ahead, leave a thumbs up on the way out. Go ahead and tell your friends about this. Go ahead and tell your friends about Fightful Select. Share the show. Tell them if you're a TNA fan, this is the one you want to watch. No, you know why people watch this show? Because TNA watches this show, and then they plan accordingly around whatever we're talking about. That's not true. I'm just talking about it because I just need to get, let's talk about it.
I'm co-signing. Yeah? I'm co-signing. I'm here with your lie. I'm co-signing.
That's right. Well, let's talk about it. We'll be back next week, Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern, to talk about TNA wrestling. And I'm sure Joe Hendry will come out and he'll tell us all about why he lost. And then maybe Kazarian will fight. Regardless, we'll have plenty to talk about. For Cresta Star, you know who I am. You know who she is. Ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, next week we're going to talk about it. Cheers.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply. Available in app only.